Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
Welcome everyone to a new episode of Voices are Action, the new podcast series of Real World Radio. This is our third edition already, and you can find the first two episodes and many other news articles, interviews, and more at rwr.fm. We are also on Twitter and Facebook at Real World Radio, and on Instagram at radio_world_radio. Let's begin then with an overview of today's contents. First, we'll talk about Israel that attacked Iran on June the 13th and put the whole region in a state of crisis amid the genocide it is carrying out in Gaza. These past few days, the Samud convoy and the global march to Gaza, two international efforts of solidarity with the Palestinian people, were also stopped. Then we will move to Colombia, where a court ruled in favor of the 11 peasants of Jericó who are facing legal proceedings filed by transnational mining corporation AngloGold Ashanti. And then we will be talking about the resistance in France and Mozambique to the relaunching of a gas project of French oil corporation Total in Mozambique.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
On June the 13th, Israel bombed Iran and hit residential areas of the capital city Tehran, nuclear installations and nuclear research centers, and military bases in several cities of the country. The Israeli attack took place in the context of the genocide being carried out in Gaza. Almost at the same time, the Samud convoy and the global march to Gaza, two mobilizations of solidarity with the Palestinian people, which aim to reach Gaza and exert pressure to stop the genocide, were stopped in Libya and Egypt. On Friday, Real World Radio interviewed Hatem Owini, representative of the organization Million Rural Women and the Landless from Tunisia, member of La Via Campesina, which was involved in the preparation of the Samud convoy for months. Hatem, who is also a member of the regional secretariat of La Via Campesina in the Arab and North Africa region, said to Real World Radio,
"It is an escalation of war because we think that the attack is threatening not only peace in the region, but in all over the world. After the genocide of Gaza and West Bank in Palestine, after the attacks against Lebanon, after the invasion of Syria and the attacks against Yemen today, and for the second or third time, Israel is attacking Iran. This is a cause of instability in the region, and this might be a cause of a worldwide war. That's why Million Rural Women, as part of La Via Campesina, that represents millions of rural women and peasants and fisher folks and original people, we have declared this morning the situation of extreme alert, political alert, and moral alert due to the grave situation. This attack is a violation of the sovereignty of Iran. It is a violation of the Iranian people. But it is also a proof that Israel has the imperialist impunity and cover of USA, US imperialism, and European imperialism. That's why we feel a more injustice, but we feel proud that the convoy is to say stop the genocide in Gaza, but today it will say stop the Israeli attacks on Iran and on all the peoples of the region. We started this few months ago when there was escalation of killings and massacres and escalation of the genocide and escalation of using starvation as a weapon of arms. And then with coming of Trump, who is speaking of the Riviera of Gaza. And hence we said that we need really to do something practical. We organized a lot of protests. We took the streets in all of the countries of the region, but that was not enough. And with the failure of the government in the region to really fight for the stopping of genocide, we said the convoy can be really a good response. And in coordination with the global march to Gaza, we said that let's go together. Let me tell you that what is more important for us is that from the very beginning, we felt that we already succeeded. Because believe me, my brother, I hope that you could see the photos and the videos, and we can transfer that to you. There were hundreds of thousands of people who took the roads to salute the convoy. It was something unbelievable. And if to not exaggerate, maybe tens of thousands, and probably if you calculate all of them, there were hundreds of thousands of people who couldn't come with us, but who have the feeling of incapacity, of not having the arms to fight, not having the statements, and that they said, this is the convoy that might be really having the highest voice. Then with the comrades and brothers from Algeria came Tunisians, too many Tunisians, a lot of buses, a lot of cars, and now we are about 2,500 Tunisians, Algerians, Mauritanians, and Libyans who were unbelievable. In the western part of Libya, it was unbelievable, and it was really popular support. People brought food, people brought even the gorgeous camels, just as a sign of generosity, and give bread and food to people, and chanting the slogans of freedom.
And while remaining on the same issue, we'll now focus on Gaza. Genocide hurts, outrages, infuriates, but it does not demobilize. The peoples of the world are taking the streets, demonstrating in every city, asking for the end of the genocide, to allow access to humanitarian aid, food, health supplies, among many other demands. Organizations and social movements, organized peoples, are flooding the streets to put pressure on their governments to stop this barbarism that is happening in Gaza, for someone to put a stop to the actions of a murderous government which, violating international laws, destroys everything in its path in Gaza and harasses and kills in the West Bank as well. Since breaking the ceasefire in the Gaza Strip 3 months ago, Israel has intensified the bombings and expanded military ground operations, killing thousands of civilians and destroying critical infrastructure, and the population is confined to ever-shrinking spaces, with more than 80% of the Gaza Strip militarized by Israel or under forced displacement orders. According to information from the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, UNRWA, more than 640,000 people are estimated to have been displaced again, more than 200,000 from May the 15th to June the 3rd. On May the 19th, after nearly 80 days of blockade, Israeli authorities allowed the United Nations to temporarily resume limited aid deliveries. The militarized food distribution mechanism imposed by Israel began operating on May the 27th at two points in Rafah and Deir al-Balah. Since then, thousands of Palestinian people have made their way on foot to these points to receive food packages. At least dozens of them have been killed or injured by gunfire during the distribution. The Palestinian population is forced to choose between starving to death or risk being killed while trying to access scarce food distributed through Israel's militarized humanitarian assistance mechanism, says UNRWA. More than 55,000 people have been killed in Gaza since October the 7th, 2023. Meanwhile, in the West Bank, including East Jerusalem, the operation by Israeli forces launched in the north on January the 21st continues. The Israeli government continues to approve the construction of dozens of new settlements in the West Bank, which also violates international law. There is also an upsurge in Israeli settled violence, including the forced displacement of the Ma'ayer al-Deir community in Ramallah at the end of May, and repeated violent attacks against the Palestinian population. Since October the 7th, 2023, at least 942 Palestinian people, including 200 children, have been killed in the occupied West Bank. In this terrible context, Abir Al-Budme from Pengon, Friends of the Earth Palestine, tells us about the work of the organization, which in addition to supporting as much as possible the humanitarian work in Gaza and the West Bank, also focuses on researching the ecocide, the socio-environmental destruction caused by the advance of the Israeli military occupation. In addition, Abir also tells about Israel's destruction of the renewable energy infrastructure, which allowed many Palestinian families to have access to electricity, and the international denunciation work carried out by Pengon.
While the war against Gaza has taken a heavy toll on the environment and caused an ecocide, We, the Palestinian Environmental NGOs Network, Pingon Friends of the Earth Palestine, as a network of 16 environmental organizations in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. During the current war, Pingon is working on different researches to assess the environmental damages as a result of this ecocide. An assessment research of the environmental impact of Israel's war on Gaza that are prepared by a team of researchers working through a collaboration between Pingon and Newcastle University in the UK. Through this research, the direct and the indirect environmental impacts of the war are addressed and analyzed. The impact on agriculture, water resources, air pollution, the impact of dropping thousands of tons of prohibited bombs on Gaza, and the consequences on different environmental elements in Gaza Strip. Before this war, Pingon, in cooperation with our members, have implemented several solar energy projects. But since the second day of the war, Israel deliberately targeted the vital solar energy projects. Pingon, during this war, has been worked on a field assessment of the damages in solar energy projects, and we found that 90% of the projects that we've implemented before were damaged, and 75% of solar units that operate the vital water, wastewater, and desalination water plants were also damaged. These researchers are used as a lobby tool to stop this ecocide and participate to put Israel under accountability for these environmental crimes and also help in planning for a recovery of Gaza Strip. Also, during the current war, Pingon worked on supporting our people in Gaza through emergency support. Pingon contribution provides essential aid to improve the living conditions during the war by providing them with food, hygiene kits, and water to families in desperate need. Even within this catastrophic situation, Pingon remained on the ground, working with partners to provide safe drinking water to displaced families and to the communities that cannot find water to drink. Pingon has implemented a small-scale solar energy project to operate water pump to supply Deir el-Balah refugee camp with water. Pingon also worked on raising the Palestinian voices high, the Gazan suffering and struggles toward justice on their land. We worked hand in hand with our allies and partners at international level, targeting the parliamentarians in different countries, human rights organizations, academics, and other movements to solidify Palestinian rights as a central pillar in the global struggle for justice. And we really appreciate this solidarity and great support. While in the West Bank, we continue to support our people to strengthen their steadfastness within the accelerated colonial scheme, within the increased restrictions on movements between cities and the villages, controlling more land, more natural resources, and preventing the Palestinian farmers to reach their land. We, as Pingon, still support them to rehabilitate their agricultural land and to develop the environmental conditions in the Palestinian communities.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
And now we continue with our Voices are Action, now in Colombia. On June the 16th, a municipal court from Jericó, a municipality in the department of Antioquia, released 11 peasants who are facing legal proceedings for opposing a mining project of transnational corporation AngloGold Ashanti. This decision allows the peasants to continue the process with freedom, contrary to the request of the prosecutor's office that had demanded the peasants to be on house arrest and charged them with the crimes of kidnapping, aggravated theft, damage to property belonging to others, and personal injury, for events that occurred in 2022 and 2023 when inhabitants of the region and the environmentalists protested against the possibility of the mining project moving forward. These charges stem from a lawsuit by Minera Quebradona, a subsidiary of AngloGold Ashanti, which seeks to develop a project in Herigo that, according to the farmers, affects the region because it takes away water and destroys the agricultural livelihoods. In 2021, the National Environmental Licensing Authority shelved AngloGold Ashanti's environmental impact study for lack of technical accuracy, but the transnational continues to press on. According to Sensat Aguaviva, Friends of the Earth Colombia, AngloGold Ashanti has been implementing a territorial insertion strategy characterized by the silencing of communities, intimidation of social leaders, social fragmentation, and the alleged capture of public decisions. Hundreds of people demonstrated on June the 16th near the gourd where the peasants were released and celebrated the victory in what has become known in Colombia as the case of AngloGold Ashanti versus the 11 of Herigo. First, we will listen to Gustavo Arboleda, one of the peasants released, interviewed by Sensat Aguaviva a while after the court decision.
Bueno, lo que hoy sucedió acá en Jericó es algo que nos motiva y nos ayuda.
What happened today here in Jericó is something that motivates us and helps us to continue fighting, defending the environment, taking care of the water in this ongoing struggle that we have been fighting for several years, and that as lifelong coffee farmers and peasants of this region drives us to continue taking care of our territory. The waters we are defending and fighting for are the waters that originate from the mountains, where we have our farms, where we have fertile lands for agricultural and coffee production. We have to take care of them and defend them, because otherwise the companies are going to destroy our territory with mining, and we know that where there is large-scale mining, there is only destruction. I want to give a message to everyone who is listening, that we take care of the water, that we take care of the environment, because we know that if we do not take care of it, it will run out, and we will not be able to live a future and a healthy environment for our children, for our grandchildren. So the call is to take care of and protect water and environment.
And now we will listen to the words of activist Maria José Cano Espinosa from the Imagina Jericó Collective.
For them, this act of protest is a crime. For us, it is a legitimate act of defense of our rights to decide what we want in the territory. Above all, peasants are subject to special protection measures in Colombia, and we are hardly seeing that in Jericó. We are now seeing how the Quebrada Copper Mining Company is using this legal case to stop the protest and above all to lock up the 11 peasants. At the latest hearing, the prosecution argued in favor of imposing house arrest on the 11 peasants so that the company could enter the villages to continue its studies. In other words, it is clear that the prosecution is defending the rights of the mining company, but ignores the context of peaceful protest and socio-environmental conflict. And so today we were waiting for the court's decision. Fortunately, the judge ruled that he did not accept the house arrest on the 11 peasants. That means that they will continue to defend themselves in a free manner, that is, they will not have to be under house arrest as the mining company wanted. But this is just the beginning of this case against the 11 peasants. This is the part where the charges are brought. This is one of the stages, but it will continue. The process is still open. All the evidence has not yet been presented. All the debates have not yet taken place. The judge has not shared yet his main arguments regarding the innocence of the peasants. That is to say, in the legal context that we have in Colombia, this case could take years to be processed.
Voices are action.
In Real World Radio.
And now we are going to Europe, although with a heavy foot in Africa. In April 2021, French oil transnational corporation Total announced the indefinite suspension of its activities in the Mozambique liquefied natural gas project located in the Rovuma River Basin in the province of Cabo Delgado in northern Mozambique, near the border with Tanzania. However, Total now seeks to relaunch it imminently and announced a target date of mid-year. To relaunch the project, the company needs the agreement of the financiers, including the French banks Crédit Agricole and Société Générale, which is why Friends of the Earth France called for an online action on May the 14th on the occasion of Crédit Agricole's annual general meeting. You may wonder why Friends of the Earth France denounces this project in Mozambique. Well, in recent months, several investigations by outlets like Politico, Le Monde, Source Material have revealed a series of alleged abuses committed at the site of Total's LNG project in Mozambique in 2021 by public security forces paid by Total and claiming to be in charge of protecting its gas facilities. In addition, a judicial investigation has just been opened in France against Total for involuntary manslaughter and failure to assist a person in danger following a criminal complaint filed by survivors and relatives of the victims of the attack on Palma, a neighbor city of the LNG project, committed by insurgent groups in March 2021. This Total project in Mozambique is also one of the company's climate bombs. The industrial park is almost twice the size of Paris and would produce between 3.3 and 4.5 billion tons of CO2 equivalent. That is more than the annual greenhouse gas emissions of the 27 countries of the European Union. Now we will listen to a report by Juliette Renaud from Friends of the Earth France.
I'm Juliette Renaud, coordinator of Friends of the Earth France, doing a report for Rising Voices. It's been years that we've been mobilizing against Total Megagas project in Mozambique, together with Justiça Ambiental, Friends of the Earth Mozambique, but also an international coalition with many Friends of the Earth groups and other groups. We've been putting pressure against Total, but also its financiers. And so last May, the 14th, it was the French bank Crédit Agricole general meeting. And so on that occasion, on the building where the general meeting was being held, we put a giant banner, which was saying, crimes in Mozambique, Crédit Agricole, will you be accomplice? And so with that giant banners and all the activists gathered at that moment, we wanted to denounce the guilty silence from the bank, because the bank is remaining silenced since Total suspending the project, but more importantly, since Total has announced that they want to relaunch the project. And this is despite all the investigation on the human rights violations and the crimes on the ground. And so we also had a comment from a friend of this friend that was inside the AGM and that asked what will the bank do and if they would support for an independent investigation on Total's responsibility in the presumed crime in Mozambique. But again, they remain quite silence with an unclear response, saying simply that they would take their decision of maintaining or not their financing for later. And so we will continue to be mobilized against the bank. We also mobilized online to put them pressure on them on that day. And just finally, it's quite important to say also that some years ago, we managed to put pressure on the French state for the government not to give a public financing support to the project. But anyway, there is still support from the French state in the voice of the president Emmanuel Macron, who recently publicly supports Total extractive activities in Mozambique recently. And in that way, for us, it's totally unacceptable because it's just following the road of the government of extreme right of Giorgia Meloni and also Donald Trump government in the United States, which has supported the project with almost $5 billion recently.
The whole situation caused by the oil and gas industry in Cabo Delgado has been denounced for years by Justiça Ambiental, Friends of the Earth Mozambique. In an interview we made in May 2020 with Daniel Ribeiro from this Mozambican organization, we wrote, "Cabo Delgado, the northernmost province of Mozambique, is suffering. The invasion of the transnational gas industry, attacks by extremist groups, and military deployment from a government that seems to hate its people are all creating a frightening breeding ground for murders, forced disappearances, the persecution of journalists and social activists, and the displacement of peoples. In a context of extreme poverty, local communities are feeling disrespected, disregarded, and abused. They are awaiting answers from a government they do not trust. While families displaced by insurgency attacks and fossil fuel companies from the global north are looking for ways to survive, the COVID-19 crisis introduced by the same companies is already wreaking havoc in an area where health services are deplorable. We recommend listening to this interview on RWR.fm that is titled The Dire Consequences of the Gas Expansion Plans in Mozambique. But for this Voices Are Action, we asked Kere Fumo from Justiça Ambiental, Friends of the Earth Mozambique, to report on the organization's perspective, emphasizing the dire consequences of the gas expansion plans in Cabo Delgado.
Discovering natural gas in Cabo Delgado resulted in the forced displacement of more than 600 families who were removed from their ancestral lands and now live far from their agriculture production areas and access to the sea, essential sources of livelihood and cultural identity. Far from bringing sustainable development, the advent of gas intensified the social inequalities in the province of Cabo Delgado and also in Mozambique. A climate of expectation was created around jobs and improved living conditions for local community, especially for the youth. However, these promises were largely unfulfilled. The feeling of exclusion and social injustice contributed to the outbreak of a violent conflict in 2017, which has already caused thousands of deaths and displaced hundreds of thousands of people. The war is exacerbated by geopolitical and economic interests surrounding the gas has plagued Cabo Delgado into an unprecedented humanitarian crisis. The communities affected by the projects remain subject to endless negotiations for fair compensation. Many are still waiting for concrete responses while facing precarious conditions without proper access to land, means of livelihood, or government supports. The LNG development has been linked with serious human rights issues, such as land grab, displacement, and loss of access to traditional livelihoods, in addition to the conflict that made only in Palma more than 1,000 deaths during the attack in 2021. Continuing these projects would, in this view, deepen the injustice already experienced by the local communities. To continue financing gas projects in Cabo Delgado would be a betrayal of Mozambique and humanity. It would show disrespect for justice that is due to people who have enduring human rights violation. It would ignore the voices of the families who are bearing the heaviest burdens, who have lost their land, access to sea, and their livelihoods. It would show a lack of commitment with the national laws, international standards, and any efforts to deal with the climate crisis. LNG in Mozambique would benefit only the fossil fuel corporates and the small political elites. It's also important to highlight that Mozambique is one of the most vulnerable countries to climate change in Africa. Gas is going to exacerbate this vulnerability not only to local communities directly affected by the gas in Cabo Delgado, but also in all the country.
Voices Are Action
in Real World Radio.
Well, we have now reached the end of our Voices Are Action podcast. Today, we had an episode filled with the voices from the territories, as usual. You can find more about this and other issues at rwr.fm, on Twitter and Facebook at Real World Radio, and on Instagram at real_world_radio. It has been a great pleasure sharing these developments with you, and we hope you can tune in on our next episode. Thank you.
Voices Are Action
in Real World Radio.